And I'll just take a cue from what we have been teaching Wednesdays. Maybe this will be the continuation. I'll find out when I'm done. You know, we need to be wary of the times that we are in, where we need to keep our focus on Lord Jesus Christ and what He has asked us to do. You know, I'm thankful for people like Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, who taught us to follow God's plans. In Psalm 127 verse 1, I've already spoken against favorite scriptures, but a scripture that comes to my mind a lot: except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we saw people that built in vain. In Genesis 11, they built in vain. Where you build in vain, which means it's not for Him. They labor in vain. Why do they say, except the Lord build the house? Because every time that God, the very first house of God, well, let's say first of all the earth itself, in Genesis 1 to chapter 2 verse 3, which is called His rest place. Then Eden, Genesis 2, 9 and 10 says He planted it Himself. And that's the genesis of the word planting. That you have the plantings of the Lord. He planted it. So next time He's going to ask someone to build, right? And that was in Genesis chapter, well, basically 6 into 7, where He speaks to Noah and He gives him the pattern to build. And what Noah saw was not what he built, because you have to realize that what Noah saw was the supernatural, okay? But he built it in a parable, like what is called mashal in the Hebrew, like something, a parable, figure of speech. So he built, now we call it an ark, like we think it's a ship, a submarine, but it wasn't a ship, it was a temple. And I've showed you that before, a temple. So he gave him how to build. Now when he was going to call Moses to build, he called Moses to build again in Exodus 25 till 40. And he gave him descriptions how to build. In fact, in the case of Moses, he chose the people to do it. So when it comes to God and His work, we need to work with His own plan. I don't know if you have given someone an assignment before. Maybe you are trying to build, and he comes up with his own idea. How do you feel? You feel like, who sent you this? Well, I was just thinking that you might like what? Did I ask you to do this? And many times, they don't even know what you need it for. You're not in my mind. You can't tell me how it's going to work out. I said, put this here. I said, well, when I went out, I saw some building like that. It was so lovely. I felt when you look at it, you see it now. It's another thing if you showed me that, right? But you had already gone ahead to build. I'm sure you don't do that for your clients. You won't remain in business. You build according to what they told you. It's His house. Are you here? You can't choose how to do it. You can't say, God should like this. You know, God should like this. This is old fashioned. Someone told me this. I was shocked. He said, you know, even God knows that we can't always stick with the Bible. He's a pastor. There was a time like that, when they were having protest. So I wrote an article. The article was about protest and scripture and all that. Then somebody came up and we began to speak on the phone. He said, well, I was so surprised because, I mean, there are things that don't surprise me. That one surprised me. He said, but must we always follow Jesus? You know, there was really no answer. You know, I didn't know how to respond. And the guy said, must we follow? And the way he said it, and these people are bold though. You know, there's a boldness you can have. See, must we follow Jesus? And I didn't know what to say because he's a pastor. I just looked at his congregation. I felt, I can imagine what they are going through. I said, yes, we must. And that's a challenge, you know. Someone called me last week and I was speaking at this, it was a Sunday, they had this Zoom, right? So someone spoke to me from America. He said, I listened to you, but he said, that's your dimension. I said, it's not my dimension. He said, but the way you, I said, it's not my dimension. I simply showed you that Jesus never had a single problem with the civil authorities. They picked on him, and you know, when they brought Jesus to the Pilate, he said, I've seen, this man has done nothing. And I told you the significance on Saturday, that, you know, now usually translation says that he was hung in the midst of thieves. Really, the Greek word is not a thief, the one that takes your, what do they take easily in Lagos, phones, right? Or phones or ATM card or something like that. That's not the kind of thief. The thief there is an impostor, or better still, a rebel. Or let me give you a better word, an insurrectionist. Somebody who wants to unseat the government. That's, now notice that. Now, Jesus was crucified in the midst of those seeking to unseat government. Now, they now said between Barabbas and Jesus, Barabbas was an insurrectionist. So that's what he was. And the people chose Barabbas. The reason why they chose Barabbas is because Barabbas was fighting for their rights, as it were. And Jesus was just a miracle worker, preaching salvation, talking about a kingdom that we can't even see the kingdom. He's already arrested. So when they brought him before the authorities, they said, there's nothing. What did you say this man did? If he had said, he said that your government is coming down in 7 days, your government will be torn down. He said that you are not the will of God for Israel. They would have said, eh? You said so? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. It was of this world, my soldiers would have come to fight. Then he said, I don't have a business with somebody whose kingdom is not in this world. You know, what's my business with this guy? He has no, there's no preaching where he spoke against the authorities. So, they gave him a clear bill, clean slate. Some guys don't want to hear that. The same thing with Paul. Nothing. And he said there was nothing found in his mouth. Nothing. Now, as a citizen of Nigeria, or America, or United Kingdom, or Ghana, or Benin Republic, or anywhere, you can decide to work as a citizen and speak to the government, but remember, you are not doing it as a Christian. And Peter says, if any should suffer, let him suffer as a Christian. That's the only one that is for the gospel. And that's the truth. So people think, well, can't we, someone say, but are you saying the church should be docile? Docile is not your house now. You build how he wants you to build. Except the Lord built the house. So he gave specifications. I was saying that he gave it to Moses. When he got to David, he even said David couldn't build. David had the money, he had the funds, he had everything. He said, you're not building for me. He chose his son to build for him, which was really a prophecy of a nature. It was a pattern. So he chose his son, and Solomon also built according to pattern. Hallelujah. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Your church, your fellowship, your cell group, you must build. Build by the word and by the spirit. Remember the theme of one of our conventions in 97. We call it steel by the word and by the spirit. And why do we choose that theme then? To remind people that, you know, you must not get distracted. It's still by the word and by the spirit. Build by the word. Build by the word. Build by the spirit. Hallelujah. So we've got to be careful. You know, and when we speak of certain things, say, look guys, where we're going, because in ministry, you need to look at the consequences of actions you're taking. And this morning I spoke about prayer. It's going to be out. And ensure that when the video is out, I'm sure by 7 it will be out. By the time it's out, I'm going to have 2. I now put out videos twice every week. 2 times in a week, sorry. 2 videos, sorry, every week. That's the right word. And you must make sure people see it. And I'm deliberate about it because I want to speak about the church. See, people don't even know what church is. You'll be surprised. They don't know what church is. They don't know what it is. And I'm talking to you because I'm not just talking about what I speak to. I have the privilege by God's grace to speak to some fora where I had to talk to pastors. They don't know what church is. You'll be surprised. It's gotten lost. Now they're doing GIT or what do you call it? AI. So somebody will just show up and he'll be your pastor. An image is now your pastor. Are you mad? And they say, well, it's technology. Well, it's technology. After all, you get the sermon right. How would he get the sermon right? We don't get the sermon just because we get some books together. No, we get the sermon because we have the Holy Ghost. You see, these are nonsense. You need to be careful. Someone now called me. The pastor is in Akure. He said, is it Akure now? I think Oshogbo or something. He said, he's like, you saw this thing ahead of time. I said, yes. I said, I saw it. Now people are praying online. What does that mean? You're asking people to come every morning to pray. I don't have a problem with those who pray for people. See, I want people to receive miracles online. And they should get more. There should be more people praying online. There are people who need miracles. And they should be prayed for online. You see, I'm seeing the testimonies and I'm excited. Somebody, you know, he's diseased, he's healed, somebody, and he's good. But see, that is not the prayer we're instructed to do. No, it's not. We must get it right. The prayer is not about your needs online. It's about coming together to fellowship with believers and pray. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:10 said, let each man take heed how he builds. Same statement. Take heed how he builds. And you can trust us here because I know you pray for us. You know, every time we have vigils or meetings, you pray for pastor, right? So you should trust that we will follow God. Is that clear? That's why we ask you to pray for us. Because the writer of Hebrews says, for we want to do the right thing. Hebrews 13:18. So when you pray for us, you trust. And that's what I was saying yesterday. I said, if you have real, genuine questions, you ask your pastor. Why? These are the people you pray for to lead you. And there are the people praying for you. And God equips them to build you. Is that okay? You do not need more than a pastor. Are you here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know that already. You don't. If all those things is just unnecessary curiosity that builds nothing. You pray. You pray for your pastor. You trust. And you know why today we are consistent by the grace of God? We are putting out the word of God every Sunday because you are praying for us. You are praying for us. And if you are also a cell group leader, a fellowship center coordinator, a pastor, they are praying for you. Because they are praying for you, the answers are coming. Coming in the services, coming in the counseling, coming in how you lead them around. Are you here? That's how it works. And you will trust because you pray for us that we're going to stick to the plan. Is that okay? Go back to us, what we've been doing. What we said God told us to do is what we are still doing. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. So in these times, we must make a commitment. Hear me. A commitment to consistency. Do you hear me? You must make a commitment. See, Gloria Copeland, Mama Gloria Copeland. Sorry to say that. Mama Gloria is 80. And you know, she said, in consistency, therein lies the power. In consistency, you must make a commitment to consistency. Did you hear me? A commitment. It must be a commitment. You must be deliberate about being consistent. Be deliberate about it. Don't just mouth consistency. Don't just want consistency. Be deliberate about it. Are you here? You know, we've been speaking about Joseph on Wednesdays. I'm going to be going on that theme. I won't go into all details. And we looked at Luke 6. Jesus gave a description of two houses. Are you here? Two houses. He said, the one that hears my words and does them. He goes ahead to make a commitment to it. He says, likened unto a man, look at it, Luke 6 and 48, which builds a house. Is your church a house? Come on. Your fellowship meetings? What about your own life? Come on. It's a house. The Bible is a story of houses. Building houses, right? Come on. And digs deep. Look at it. He dug deep. Do you have depth? He dug deep. There are people too shallow. Too shallow. He dug deep. Look at it. And laid the foundation on a rock. He dug deep. Those who dig deep are not for show. Depth there means the unseen. Is that it? Huh? Is that it? Out of the surface. They don't need to show prayer like this. I'm skabashi. They don't need to do that. There's no need for it. In fact, somehow, this is my own life, somehow because of the challenges I faced when I was young, because my parents, at some point, my mom changed though, and they didn't like the fact that I was in the ministry. And my dad did, in fact, my dad went as far as to seize my admission letter. That's as bad as we went. And we, you know, it was so bad. And we used to have a lot of clashes. So he, one time like that, had bought a lot of books. A whole compartment of the wardrobe was filled with books. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, E.W. Kenyon. And my dad took all the books and my tape packs and burnt everything at once. And when he did it, okay. And he felt that my eyes would, something happened to me. So I said, it's because you know where I kept them. So I went to get them all over again. So I used to, help another aunt of ours to sell kerosene. Kerosene at that point. So I was selling, bar soaps. And also pure water. Breeze. You know Breeze water? Breeze pure water. Yeah. I used to sell Breeze pure water. So, I decided to double up my work pace to get more books. So I kept the books secret. I mean, my dad would come out to come and look whether I was praying. Just to work. He'll wake up to see. Then I'll look. So, I kind of grew up to, then I had a library somewhere else where I kept the books. He could never have gotten there. Never. I remember one time I was going to go for a camp meeting. And they said I couldn't go. And I was right in the house. So I took my things, put it in a bag, and I threw them across the fence. The fence had an uncomplete place over there. So I wore slippers in the evening. I mean, he didn't know I was going anywhere. So I'm taking a stroll. Sir, I want to get there. I didn't say where, there. You know. No, they lie. He said, there. So they shut the gate. So I walked down the road with nothing. So then I saw the gate was locked. I went through the back, picked my bag, went another route, and I was gone for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Eventually, there was no phone. They didn't know where I was. The camp I went for was over. I got back to Badon. So my mom I don't know. I think she prayed that day. Because I was fasting. I went to I remember that was time I did a fast of, I think about 2 weeks. So I had a whole week that was dry. So I broke that fast on a Friday. And I went to Queen's Hall, the room of Sister Beatrice Amieme. She's now Beatrice Okediji. So she said, Anoika, 7 days, you're going to eat. So somehow, when she said, you're going to eat, the appetite came. I don't know how, you know, temptation is always coming by men. Somehow, I just wanted to eat immediately, after 7 days. So she wanted to get Indomie. I said, put another one. So she put four together. How is that for breaking a fast? So do all the, those were when Indomie was really fast. That's how I was now rushing it. Rushing it. Then I said, it hooked me somewhere. Then I began to throw up in a female hostel. Was what's wrong with you? She said, Pele. So she washed my face in a female hostel. So I was walking out. Oh my God. I said, why did I break? So usually I break my fast with Coke. But that day, I think the 7 days took me over and I just went, gave me Indomie noodles. So as I was leaving, I just saw my mom. How did she know I was here? She said she just knew that God or something told her. I never really asked her. Maybe I'll ask her today. She said, God, she now smiled. She said, don't go. She said, please. She knew I could take off. She said, please. This was 1995. She said, please. I was all right. So, when I see my dad, and I greeted him, he greeted me back grudgingly. And my mom was just smiling. Why she was smiling? Because she didn't know my next move. So I said, don't worry. So I said, I greeted my dad, he said, hello. He said, it's fine, everybody. You know how mothers are like, you know. So, somehow that evening, something unfortunate happened. We lost an uncle. So we're going back the next day. My dad was finding how to talk about that issue. He's afraid that I could do something else because he's wondering, how did this boy leave the house for 2 weeks? So he's driving. And he got, I don't know where we got to around Ring Road, about where we're turning from Dube into Ring Road. He said, you see now, you know, see what happened to, he mentioned that my uncle. He said, that's why it's good to tell us where you are going to. I wondered, what is the relationship between what just happened now? And I just smiled. Said, I hope you have learned your lessons. My mom just said, leave that one. We're thankful for all our lives. Because I'm looking at the man. Me that I can get down from this car now and go. Are you here? How did I get here? I can't remember how I got here. God help me. To dig deep. So I learned to study when no one was looking. To pray. Because that's the only way I could do it. There's no need to show off. I don't know why a church would need to show us the numbers in their services. That's not the depth of your church. The depth of your church is not in the pictures. Are you here? The depth of your church is in what you cannot put on camera. They dug deep. He said, this man dug deep. Say, I dig deep. I think the Redeemed Christian Church of God has this saying, digging deep. I like the statement. You dig deep. Pastor Shola Olamide told us that when we were young. I didn't know the implication. He said, a foundation is the part of a house that nobody sees. He told us that when we were in the first year in school. He said, so you must dig for your ministry to last. Dig very deep. Be deep. Some guys think what you mean by deep is to say, Adam was not a human being. Jesus was not God. You are not well. That's not deep. It's depth with God. He dug deep and laid the foundation on it. Now look at 49. That other one just had no foundation. See, I refuse to be without a foundation. If what you are doing is because others are doing it, say, you know what they call enduring anointing. You know enduring anointing. We are all in it. You know, one day it will fail. It has to fail. The other one did not have a foundation. It just was building, carrying crowd, just doing meetings every Tuesday, just preaching. Just living 1 week to the other, and then every week he's trying devising what we don't have to get people. I think right now we have to give out Indomie noodles. Indomie, people don't like Indomie again. Oh, they think it's poisonous. Okay, what do we do now? Let's do something. Let's call a program next week. Edo for Christ. You know, you keep looking for innovations because there is really no foundation. There is no foundation. So they keep moving from one tangent to another. Paul will say, toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. To the babe in Christ. Ephesians 4:14. But this guy dug deep. And look at what Jesus said. He says, when the floods arose, the steam beat vehemently upon the house. Verse 48. And could not even shake it. Say, I'm not shaking. Said, because, why? Because it was founded. Not shaking. Hallelujah. One of my phrases in life, I say, no shaking. Not shaking. He said, the other one. He said, immediately. Look at it. Immediately. A little push. Little persecution. Little discomfort. Little problem. Bola. When you see some people. I was discussing with Pastor Tokes. And we're talking about someone that we both know. And, you know, I spoke to him about the person. I said, this fellow never stays with anything. And you see, it could become a pattern. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. I was talking to leaders today in Yaba here, and I'm going to say it publicly because you need to hear it from here publicly. I said, you know, when you're in the ministry, never develop a habit of failure. It can be a habit. And when something occurs all the time, watch it. It's going to be a habit. And I told them, I said, look, if for example, if you said to yourself that in the next 1 month, we're going to win 1,000 souls. You said that, right? Then the first month, you did 800. The second month, 850. You're already developing a habit of failure. You know what's going to happen? Now, the third time, if it happens, you will now tell yourself why it can't be 1,000. Then you develop a theology from your inconsistency. I said, no. You must break the cycle. I break such a cycle. You must break that cycle. Don't build a habit of failure. And you know what's going to happen? You will not have friends that will like what you are doing. They'll say, hey, it's not easy like that. You know, we nursing mothers, when it comes to ministry, pastor has to understand. We nursing fathers too. He has to understand what we're going through. We people that work in the tech industry, you now look for yourself, and there's a way Satan will get you together. I've never tried to backslide in many years. You know, but I know that those who backslide, the moment they take a chance to backslide, somehow Satan arranges a partner. You just find somebody you have never spoken to in years. He'll just call you up from the blues. Omo, how are you? It's been a long time. And that's it. So you begin to get people who like what you are saying. I understand you now. You know, for what we do, you know, the kind of stuff we do. I'm a banker. And you know, ministry is not like that. You know, we're medical doctors. And you know, the kind of call duties we do. And they do stuff like that. And then you now build friendship around the same thing. I can never work with people that don't inspire me. I'll cut off that relationship. I will. A guy said, you don't call me to your house again. I said, because every time you come around, you talk about people. You don't inspire me. I will cut off that relationship immediately. Inspire me. Are you following my point? So, don't build a habit of failure. You ask yourself, why couldn't we get it done? Then you say, now we must get it done. Because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. Are you here? A little challenge. So I was talking to Pastor Doug, said, this fellow. So he laughed. I was talking to him, I said, this fellow might, before you know it, he might leave where, he said, I just didn't want to tell you, he has already left. I said, wow, it's a habit. It's a habit. Why would you, as a Christian, that character, listen guys, he's not in God. Unfinished project is not in God. Did you hear me? Starting and stopping and breaking down and going to something else is not in God. And I'm not just talking about ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, I'm talking to you about life. I'm going to get to that in a moment. You must have a lifestyle that finishes what you are doing, not food alone. I like to finish my food. Someone say, I like to clear the plates. So you say made in China. That's the only way you know how to finish. Learn to finish tasks. Praise the Lord. Let them say in your office, oh boy, when we give Tosin the job, she does it. Oh no. Give Brother Jonas, give him the work, he's gonna do it. Everything with no excuses. That's the kind of character you should have. So that sister, Benny, or the Christian, she's gonna do it. Not, they give you the task, before you even start the work, you say, when sir? Friday? This Friday? Yes. Sir, everything. You mean all? All. This Friday. Okay, sir. I'll try my best. You've already failed. Nike says, just do it. Do it. He that hears these sayings of mine and does it. What does he do? He builds. He digs deep. Because both houses has the same challenges, the same storm, the same rain. Everything will come. There is no way you can prevent conflict. You can't prevent hard times. You have to know it will come. Whether you pray for it, you don't pray for it. If you like, pray in tongues, it will come. I told you, darkness is part of God's creation. You know what creation is, right? You know what creation is. Darkness is part of God's creation. Deal with it. Chaos is part of God's creation. Deal with it. You must learn to deal with it. Don't run. So we began to look at, a man like Joseph, we'll see in a moment. Joseph, in scripture, in Genesis 37, he had a great vision. The woo power. He just left the believers' convention and you set forth. And you say, bold steps. We take bold steps. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But his brothers, as soon as he said it, his brothers, every day, that is in passing. Stupid boy. Every day. They hated him the more. It got to a point, his dad, I think that should be verse 10. His dad said, what kind of vision is this? What kind of dream is this? That me and your mother will go. But the man was wise. He kept the sayings in his heart. So what did they do for him? They planned to kill him. I don't think you understand it. When your siblings plan to kill you, very similar to Jesus. They wanted to kill. Eventually, between Reuben and Judah, they decided not to kill him. So I shared it with you on Wednesday. I said, the greatest asset you have now is life. That the only reason Joseph was able to fulfill the will of God was because he was alive. That was all. Life is an asset. Say, life is an asset. That's why you cannot afford to grumble. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I'm saying? If you have life, you cannot complain. Because life is an opportunity. Did you hear me? To do everything that God wants you to do. Don't see life as convenience. There's something greater than convenience. There are people today who own what you want to get when you do business and work, and they are no longer alive, right? If you ask them today, what would they have chosen? The life or the property? They will have said the property. No, the life. Because the life will get the property. Did you hear me? See, I have an advantage. I am alive. So you can serve. The only reason why Joseph was able to fulfill that dream was because he was alive. Now, but notice, when he was alive, there was nothing to the life. It was in a pit. Then from the pit, was sold to slavery. You would have thought there was no value to it because he didn't have money, nothing in his ATM, nothing, he didn't have a job and all that. But he had life. As long as he had life, he got hope. As long as he had hope, he would fulfill the call of God upon his life. Say, I fulfill the call of God upon my life. I treasure life. I treasure life. You must know that that is what you have now. Life is time. Life is opportunity. You cannot grumble when you have life. Did you hear me? I'm not saying you have everything you want. I'm not saying you have everything that you desire. But you have something more than that. You have life. So you're grateful. Joseph wasn't in the best circumstance. No, he wasn't. And there was nothing in that dream that gave him the idea of Egypt. Nothing. Nothing in that dream gave him the idea of becoming a prime minister. Nothing. All he had was life. All he had was life. Do you know that we have no idea that he had any skills? No. We had no idea. Look at it. Genesis 37. We have no idea. Nothing. I'll talk about this at the convention. You see, be careful of a culture of grumbling. People just complain. Do you know that there are people today who are complaining because somebody else is complaining? They are not the official owners of the complaints. They just became partners. Someone say, just guess and say, this country is terrible. This country is, you know, this, everything is bad. And then you say, I see your point. Ha! Everything is just bad. Some guys, every time they talk, the body of Christ is in problem. The body of Christ, I called one guy and said, how many body of Christ have you seen? He doesn't have a passport. And he has seen the body of Christ. Even if you have a green passport, you know, it doesn't give you a visa to many places. How did you see the body of Christ? The body of Christ is just in trouble. Which part of it have you seen? They are just negative. All Joseph had, he didn't see. 37. What did he have? Nothing. We don't hear anything. Nothing. What was he doing? Watch this. Watch this. Do not ever fear the flood. Verse 13. And I'll send it to them. And he said to them, here am I. He has no skills. All he had was availability. The father said, come, let me send you to your brothers. He knew the brothers envied him. He knew they hated him. But that didn't stop him from being faithful. Faithfulness is being available. He was available. And the father sends him there, and then they conspire and get him into a pit. Eventually they want to kill him. They say, okay, let's send him to Egypt. They wanted to kill him. They didn't kill him. I'm grateful for life. I can do the will of God. I can dream again. I can hope again. You can't complain when you have life. Someone said, I've had a bad day. I said, would you rather have no day? I'm grateful. And I'm thankful. Because when there's life, you can change any circumstance. Any circumstance. If it's sickness, you can be healed. Any circumstance can be changed. Because the gift that God has given you is that you are alive. Oh, come on, wherever you are, just thank God for your life. Have you thanked God for that? Thank God for your life. Oh, I'm alive. I'm alive to do the will of God. I'm alive to be grateful. I'm alive to fulfill God's plan. I'm alive. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm not just alive. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. I'm alive. I'm alive in the Holy Ghost. I'm alive. I'm alive. Woo! I can do the will of God. I can dream again. I can laugh again. I can smile again. I can run again. I can pray again. I can preach again. I can study again. Because I'm alive. Hallelujah. Sit down. Be grateful. Life means opportunity. Life means time. Life means hope. And Joseph had that. Are you there? And so he becomes an example for us. So I put something here. I said, who is a leader? A leader is an example. What did I say? A leader is not first of all an instructor or an organizer. A leader is an example. An example of sacrifice. That you can give up things. That's leadership. Leader is an example of consistency. Put that somewhere because we'll come back there. Of good conduct. A leader inspires. So what kind of leader are you? We're talking about Joseph today because he has become our leader. He didn't know he was going to. He wasn't doing those things to be a leader. He was doing it because it's the right thing to do. What we call leadership is when you do the right thing so that others can do it too. The moment you are doing something just because you're a leader alone, you are going to get into trouble. You are doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. The example of sacrifice. The example of following, for example. Following God. Following who God has placed over your life. The example of good conduct. A leader is inspirational. Inspires us. Now watch something. And closely. You see, Joseph. Sometimes we have Genesis 37. Then Genesis chapter 50. Or even from 48 and 47. Where he now becomes a prime minister. He's now the deliverer of his people from famine and to even perish. In Genesis chapter 50. Watch this. Genesis chapter 50. Before the Genesis 45 verse 7. He said, God sent me before. Now look at, why is he saying God sent him? Because he can look back now. I see God here. You know, when we start learning the ways of God's spirit, the things we thought were just coincidences, we say, that was God. That was God. God made me meet you. He made me come into that conference that day. That was God. Now he says here, he says, he sent me before you to preserve you for a posterity in the earth. and to save you, your lives, by a great deliverance. You know, it says in verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me either, but God. It's God who sent me. Praise the Lord. It says God who sent me. In chapter 50. In fact, in verse 5, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He said, look, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. No. He said, God did that. Look at chapter 50 and verse 20. He says, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. He says, to bring to pass as is the day, to save much people alive. Now, why did he go to Egypt? He went to Egypt because God had already told Abraham. But God didn't give Abraham details. Why does God save us from details? Because we might think it's not possible. We'll get in the way. We'll get in the way with our logic. We'll get in the way trying to plan it. You know, years ago, and I remember, I just said something to a friend. There's a man of God, a pastor, still one, doing well. And I said, the Spirit of God seemed to prompt my heart to go to a campus. Now, I'd been going around campuses. And I'd gone around, I think in particular here, 52. So I said to my friend, I said, Lord, it's prompting my heart to go to a campus. I don't know what campus it is. And then he said, no problem, MOG. So he just went and said, no problem, MOG. He said, I'll do this. He said, I'll set up this for you. He said, and I'll listen to him. He said, I said, we have an office. And the truth about that is they got me, when I went to preach for them one time, they got us a fleet of cars. In fact, in the ministry then it became a storyline. Fleet of cars to pick me up, to take me to the meetings. They gave us gifts. They gave us room. You know, what's the best accommodation you can think about? It was a meeting I preached and people lined up to the door to give me something. So it was everything fitted. And so my friend said, no problem. We can set an office for you. We'll do this for you. And I said, no. I said, that's not how it works. He said, that's a nice thing because it looks reasonable. I said, well, Lord, I pray about it. I said, oh, you these Kenneth Hagin boys. I said, yeah, I just like to follow God. I just told you. I thought he was going to say, let's pray. But he said, he's a good person, but I just think that was what he thought was right. You know, it doesn't mean that what he is a bad person or stuff like that. So I said, no. Now I had the one that was very good. So I said, no. That will just follow God. That when I see it, I'll know it. Now it was easy to say, oh, when I see this one and I see cars, this is it. If God gives a vision, he gives a provision car. I said, no. So I began to pray. Just praying, I told people in the ministry, let's just pray and wait on the Lord. And one of us now went to a campus where most of your pastors are from. He said, it's in so and so place. He said, a forgotten barracks. I said, eh. So we went for the meeting. The first experience we had there wasn't pleasurable. We spoke for them. It was an evening. I think you guys were on strike or something. Something was happening. Everything was not just set. So we went to their chapel to preach. The first night where I spoke for your fellowship, did you play that? There was the second time you played. Second time. The first time, they didn't have light. You know that night? I know the night very well. They didn't have light. Everything was disorganized. Looking ridiculous. That was not it alone. They now gave us a room. The bathroom of the hotel, right, was this high. You had to climb. The hotel owners, as we're getting, gave us candles. To use. The reason why they said that, they said because there was not enough kerosene in the lanterns. I've never said this to in detail for you guys before. Today, I'll tell the story. I said, what? And then one of my boys in government college was, they used his car the first day. A white Toyota car. I remember very well. White. Larry, Father Yomi. White car. So they brought the car. The guy was not part of the meeting. He just dropped us and left. By the second day, all the people with me, some of them had to take Okada. Went back to the hotel. It didn't look like where you want to come back to. And I said, ah. Then the next day, the story is not done. We now were doing Soul Winners Conference. And the leaders of the fellowships came in, go and win souls. They came back alone. In fact, one of them said, I went to speak to a Muslim brother. He said he will come and come and enjoy this conference. A Muslim brother. To come for a soul winners conference. And we had just done tell the world. So we rushed the copies. Tony had gone to do the copies in the Shomolu. She hasn't got back to take the remaining till now. Because we didn't have enough money to pick up the balance. I don't know how she got the copy she got. She hasn't told me yet. But we got the copies. We took it to their school. They couldn't buy it. We gave you, remember? You were there. Who else was there? Jakes, you were there. Just the two of you. Pastor Wally was there. Eh? Who else was there? Kola was there. You and your Nika. He was a guy man. Bogeyman. Don't let me say more. Sit down. It's not today that I should do the whole apocalypse. Sit down. So we were not really excited because the way they were, they didn't look organized. That evening, we're now going back. We now came in contact with Oro people. No, Agemo didn't allow us to leave the bus park. You are laughing. Because you know what you did that day. So the people said, the women are not covering their hair. They're not covering their hair. So while I was trying to sell that, she just raised her voice. What is it? I had a person in the ministry. What is it? Because they felt we were on the gospel train. The guy said, you know how to talk. It was in the night. And so they said, we will not allow you leave. No car, no bus will pick you here. So all the buses were leaving. With other people, say they won't. This set of people. And there's not me, I wasn't part of it. I think it was you, three of you, right? Okay. And another brother. Ha! We just left a situation where we had to climb into the bathroom. Where the people that were going to preach came back needing to be preached to. And so I said, ah! What do we do? They were raising their voice. Say, get quiet. So I just went to meet the man. You were not there. You were not there. You heard about it. I think Pastor Lola was there. Was she there? She was. No, she wasn't. She wasn't? Oh, she wasn't there. Okay, we came to meet you guys with the story. Yeah. So, what do I do? So I went to meet the Agemo people. The boss people. They said, the Agemo is coming close. Now I'm Ijebu. So a brother who was with us is Ijebu. He started speaking English. I said, keep quiet. So I went there, started speaking Ijebu. I prostrated. They said, hey, hey. They spoke back to me. I was thinking, how would I take care of this? If it's me, I know how to hustle. But five people in the middle of the night. Your faith is your own faith. I've never broken this story down like this before. That's how we left. We all were quiet. We go to Shechem. I was looking at all of them. After the bathroom that was Mount of Gibraltar, you know, came here, we'll stay here. Because I looked at it. 10 o'clock. Where are we going to go? Because we couldn't leave the car park. So they said they were going to leave us there and shut their park. Ha! Because the argument was, and they said, you needed to be from an Ijebu person. And I said, ha! So the man said, we can help us. So they took us to a park and we thanked them. So we went back. So these people that couldn't even get us a room now said, we should come again. To where? Ha! So we should come again. No, I think no. No, no. You came to me in the room. That was the second time. Okay, so we came the second time. They said we should come the second time. So we came. And I looked at this, said this. So by that time, I'd sent someone around to go and get a hotel. A good place. That guest house, we were the ones that found it. Are you aware? Aha. The guest house you boast about, we were the ones that found that guest house. We paid for it. We were comfortable. You know? And I said, well, let's preach for them. But somehow, we just knew this least comfortable place was where God wanted us to come to. That was the campus. It wasn't the nice one that had the cars and everything. I was stayed there. So when he came, and one of his, your friend, and they spoke to me, I just knew this was the place. So we're going to come back here again and again and again and again. Praise the Lord. That's how it looks. You just obey God. You don't start to set your mind. You start to imagine. Imagine all the things. I get more in the midst of all of the God's plan. Bathroom that had no water. There was no water in that bathroom. No, I'm not joking. It was high. How do you go like this? What kind of bath will you have and be clean? That's the pool of Siloam. Hallelujah. And they sent me a couple of years before, I went to a meeting in Southern Africa and they gave me 11 or so meetings to preach. They gave me good cars and God said, don't come back here. So I said, what? I never sent you here. I used a diplomatic passport to go, which means they gave me all the privileges. Said, I never sent you here. Said, go back. I'll open up this space myself. Are you here? So Joseph looked back. God didn't give details. Don't expect God to give you all the details. God speaks by his spirit through the men and women of God over your life. Go and start that cell group. Go and start that church. That's all. You will find out the details as you go. So here's Joseph. He is to deliver Israel. But that was not what he was told. But God had told Abraham before. But not the details. We are David. Same thing. David didn't know he was a king. When he was taking care of the lion and the bear, he didn't know. But that was the king that God chose and that God will use. Now let's see something very unique in the life of Joseph. We said it here. I said you must make a commitment to consistency. You do hear me? Make a commitment to be consistent. Some people are consistently inconsistent. Now we said, the first thing we can see is to build a foundation, to dig deep. Something that is not visible, as it were, to the eyes. And let me tell you, that foundation will be things that you do regularly, not for show. things that you do regularly, not for show. I take it again. Things that you do. Jesus had a custom. You know, we always found him in the temple when he began the ministry. But the truth is, at 12, he was there. In Luke 4, Luke says, as his custom was. So he grew up that way. He had a pattern. A consistent pattern. He had that culture. Something he did always. Something he did all the time. Now pause and hear this. If you are going to build something that will last, you must have a habit to it. There is a habit. I look at my life today and I'm telling myself, if we're whatever I'm doing today in life that I want to last, there must be something I'm doing every day. Every day. Every day to make it so. You cannot give a yearly commitment to something that should last forever. Every day. So I'm going to ask you a question. Let me say it again. I said, to beat the odds, to win those battles, to engage the conflicts and contradictions and win, you need to develop a habit of consistency. A habit. A habit is something, you know, I said the other time, you can develop a habit of failure, right? And how do you know you have that habit? You give excuses a lot. You always have a reason why something was not done. Hey, you know, it was raining. You know, this one happened. You know, it's my age now. You know, and you keep saying that. So you develop a habit of failure because you always have a reason why it didn't work. Now, the first thing you need to do, decide not to look for excuses. Is that clear? Decide not to look for excuses. The moment you allow excuses into your life, whatever it is has failed. So let's go, let's take aside ministry for now. Let's look at these areas of your life. Your business and career. Right? Now how many of us want to make a lasting life of fruitfulness in our career or business? Raise your hand, let me see. I want to, so I raise mine. Let me see your hand. You want to make, right? Let me see you. Come on. Now, okay, good. So, now if you're going to do that, you must develop a habit. A habit that will make it work. You see, don't let anybody fool you with overnight success at anything. It's not true. God has principles in his word that you can see the pattern yourself. There is nobody, listen guys, there is nobody that God used that did great things just because they had the grace of God. No. There's the grace of God, but the grace of God now makes you what? It makes you work. He trains you. You're able to endure hardness. So now, I'm writing four things. I said, your business and your career. Then I said, number two, family life. Family life doesn't have to be because you got married, nope. Family life could just be you and your siblings. Family life could be you and people that you grew up together. Family life. Number three, your health. Praise the Lord. How many of you want a robust health life? You want it, right? Good. Number four, your relationships generally. Now, I'm going to give you a few minutes. If these are areas of your life where you want to build a lasting structure, something lasting in your career, in your business. You know, I don't want to talk much about business here because that's not my focus, but Years back, just a few years ago, I began to think no longer about myself. It's now, okay, how does this thing last for generations? So I began to think, so if I was relating with you and you didn't get it, I will stylishly not be relating with you again. Because you are not getting what I'm saying. And I love to, and I'm growing, I'm still learning, don't forget, I'm also a work in progress. I love to look at things years ahead. And I begin to walk towards it now. I knew years ago that one day I'll be called to teach the word of God. I knew one day, when they got in contact with me, I said, we found your materials, can you be involved in this board, in this, I said, I knew this years ago. I was ready years before now. That was why I made sure I maintained a culture of study every day. I was getting ready. Listen, they say success is when preparation meets opportunity. Are you even prepared? So, now look at it. You can't just have a successful business accidentally. Or because somebody prophesied over you. Or a successful career, nope. Or family life. No, or health, no. You have to plan. So I've written four things. Do you have it written now? Now ask yourself, what habits do you need to succeed? I'm using the succeed now. I don't like using the word succeed, but that's the way I can pass it across. To be fruitful and lasting in those four areas. You must develop a habit. Habits that will ensure that the job is done. Don't forget that you have the grace of God and the leading of the Spirit is the strength of it. Now you need to convert it to everyday activity. Everyday activity. You can't always live by inspiration. Did you hear me? Wow, glory! And then you're happy today, not happy tomorrow. Mm-mm. You must move away from being inspired and be determined. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Move away from just being inspired and being influenced. Yeah. Today, there are people who have traveled abroad. You know why? Because people were doing it. What a life. There are those who have left their career, run into business, foolishly. There are those who have left business, gone back to work, foolishly. What did you set out to do? Our friends, we got business together. For 2 years, we didn't make anything. We're going from place to place. I think Bush had carrying empty. So one day they are not making fun of me. They said, look, we can't continue like this. They said, we are going off. Said, there's nothing in here. I told them, we're buying a Maladati. I said, I'm going to make a lot in these things. Don't worry. I'll stick with it. They looked at me. They went behind me. And then they said something. I heard them. They said, I don't mind making, I remember what they said, 100K. Now this is what we're doing, 100K. I said, I'm not going to make 100K. I know. When I was saying it, I didn't even have 100K. But I knew where I was going. It's simple. And I wasn't just wishing. I was building it on a daily basis. Building the character that is needed. And I'm still building because I'm still a work in progress. Are you here? Later on, the man who was my boss, he said, you know, we met at the embassy. So he said, I want to talk to you. He said, you know, you inspire me a lot. I said, why? He said, the number of ways we try to discourage you. He said, look at it now. Right? I brought you to this industry. Now you are the one telling me what to do. See what you have made out of it. I said, I really don't care what people say. It really doesn't matter to me. I grew up with people saying they don't like you. So it's not my problem. If you don't like me, it's a choice. It doesn't matter. You should be focused. Where are you going in your career? Where are you going in your business? Where? So what are the habits you want to develop on a daily basis? I'm building for the future. What about you? In my business, in my career, in my family, in my health, in my relationships, I'm building for the future. So what are the habits that you want to have? Write it down. I'll give you a few. Are you ready? Are you ready, guys? What are the habits that you believe you need? You're a lawyer, a banker, a teacher. You're an IT professional. You're like me, a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler, really. The only thing I can do is, you know, I can sell anything but human beings. Even human beings, now they're legitimate, I can sell you. So, ask yourself, what are the habits that I need? You must be committed to grow. Is that okay? Write the habits that you need. Family life, health, to build successful relationships, business. Someone said an entrepreneur needs at least 10 years of planning, where he will be trying and error. The person who said it, he's into millions of dollars. So you should hear people like that, not somebody who is a motivational speaker. This one is not a motivational speaker. It's his own life that he's talking about. So you sit down and say, I'm planning. So it will last. Not just to make money, but to keep it going. Not just to get to a status in your career, but to, you know, have a steady growth in it. What are the habits you need? Now, those habits, are they going to be daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly? Depending on what you put there, will tell you where you are heading to. Do you hear me? Now, I know we're in a meeting, so you may not put it together properly. But when you get home, put it down. I have something I'm going to preach next month. I call it the spirituality of common sense. Yeah. How spiritual is your common sense? We're going to talk about that. Some people have no plan. They just live every day as it comes. No, you can't live like that. So what are the habits you want to have? Unbreakable habits. Are you in church? Are you in church? Don't forget, I spoke about business, career, right? Family life, your health, your relationships. What are you doing about your health every day? Spiritually speaking, naturally speaking, you must know what you do every day. What are you doing about family every day? Habits. Family will be people around you. It could be, you know, a home, relationships. What are you doing to ensure, because they are all part of your life, your success in life, your health. What are you doing? Praise the Lord. Are you okay? I have two more minutes. Write it down. 2 more minutes on that. Jesus said the man dug deep. You must dig deep. Dig very deep. Very deep. Praise the Lord. You see, it's when you don't have a destination that any boss is available for you. I don't boast because man is full of influence, but there are things that just can't influence me anymore. You have to try. Really, really try. You can't get me to be negative because I can't join. I won't even flow with you. I told you in the service, I can sack somebody for being negative. I mean, I'll fire you. Don't stay around me. I don't need it. Because my life has been that of possibilities. I've faced the highest mountains, and glory be to God. Just believing in the power of God. So I can't afford someone around me I called one of the engineers working in our company just yesterday, and he said, sir, it's raining. I said, stop it! Why is the first thing you're telling me the negative? I said, I'm sorry, your guy. I said, stop that! Start with the good things you want to tell me. They say the things that happen by the side. But however, it's okay, I've heard, sir. Learn to walk with me. That's my own principle. It's my own principle. I don't need negative energy. I can't even stay with a complainant. Somebody who is always grumbling, it irritates me, spiritually speaking. And it should irritate you too. So start with the right thing. Sir, yes, we've done this and we've done that and all that. However, along the line, however, we're doing this. That's how to talk. I know all things are possible to me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All things are possible to me. In the name of Jesus. All things are possible to me. In the name of Jesus. I build to last. In the name of Jesus. Nothing dies in my hands. In the name of Jesus. You must set your face like a flint. Ignore some crowds. Now don't forget, I gave you a principle I always use. I don't ignore my critics alone. So I don't ignore their criticisms. If it is true, I'll listen. When I know you have a bad attitude, I dump you on your bad attitude. But I'll take that criticism and use it. Is it good for me? And I'm learning to do that the more, because I'm also growing. None of us here is a finished product. I'm not. I'm just sharing what can bless you. Hope is blessing you. So, hear this. You learn to be determined. Don't live by inspiration. No. Don't. It's just like some of you have gone beyond falling in love at your age. Falling. You say butterflies are in your stomach. That's sickness. No way. You must sit down and talk. The love must not be gish. Yourself is geisha. Sit down. I know where I'm going. Please, where are you going? Don't worry. Our love will take us there. Oh boy. Divine that love. We can't sustain our lives by kissing. So anything that happens, just baby, just kiss me, we'll be fine. Before you know it, you know Wicklow occurs here. Wicklow will happen. Wicklow. You better clear your eyes well and know where you are going. When I just read words from you, I'm just happy. I like your perfume. You are still thinking like that, perfume. There's the way he dresses. Anytime, there's the way she dresses. I don't know how to start praying for you. Even in tongues. Tongues itself means tongues. You know where you are going to. Praise the Lord. You know the direction that you are going to. You should know who cannot come. Right? Oh boy, you can't come. I know, but I say you can't come. The boss cannot continue. The boss of my own future. If you enter it, the seat will tear. Don't come here. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
That's how it is. So here's Joseph. He had built something beyond seasons. You know, we said he was available to his dad. In spite of the fact, he said, Daddy, to go and serve those brothers. No, never. Never. Judah that was cursing me. Who, Reuben, that Agbaya. No. He served them because he was still going to what? Serve them. Don't run away from trouble. That is where the success is. Do you hear me? Don't run. Don't run away. What did he do? He went. He got into trouble. God came among sinners to save sinners. He got into trouble. They sent him to the pit. Don't forget, you are alive, right?
Yes, sir.
You've got chance. You've got opportunity. Hallelujah. You've got opportunity. Nothing can drown you. Did you hear me? Nothing can drown you. Nothing can stop you. You are alive. That's a miracle. Amen. That's the hope. That's the time. That's the opportunity. You can get it done. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
So what did he do? They put him in Potiphar's house. He would have gone there to start saying, hello, Joe, this new, God, this new slave, is the way he has been singing. Oh, my home. Oh, my home. Where can I see my home? What's the home? If you know the family I came from, this is not my destiny. He never shared that story with anybody. I tell people oftentimes, don't cry at the wrong time. You see, there's a time to cry. Why not wait till you succeed? Then your tears will make meaning. Did you hear me? There's a, some people just have, I mean, it's like a bucket. It's like they invested all the flood of Noah in their tear glands. Don't cry yet. Brace up. When you are done and you look back at the journey, then cry properly. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? Cry properly. If you are going to cry at all, cry in prayer. Cry with God. People just come and say, some people are coming around, they want to hear the gist. Tell me exactly. Tell me. You know, I'm here for you. My father really liked me. He gave me a coat of many colors. Mm-hmm. My brothers. Yeah, I said, it's not just you. Me too. My cousin. So please, how is a hopeless man going to help a hopeless man? How? You are feeding and indulging yourself on nonsense. What does he do? He remains faithful. The Bible says God was with him. Hallelujah. He was faithful. He started getting promotions. Promotions. Faithful. Faithful. He made the best use of the chance he had. Life is opportunity. Look around you. There are things you should be doing. Look around you. There are things you just get busy. You get the job done. Potiphar now said, this guy is so faithful. From a slave, he put him over all his house. If he was complaining and murmuring, that would never have happened. Oh, I don't know. Why are you frowning? Don't worry. It's just what I'm going through right now. It's just what I'm passing through right now. Tell me now. Oh, I know, because, you know, we're in church, I don't want to share everything, but you know, man, I've been, and he talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. They gave you a cell group to lead. You say you don't have time. Say, well, it's what I'm passing through. I would have been a better cell group leader. But what I'm passing through? Joseph never did that. Do you know, he didn't know what was going to happen next. He wasn't doing it to get promotion. He was just a faithful guy. Then the wife of Potiphar said, Jojo, started sending him a WhatsApp. Thank you, love. Madam, sorry, this is not a gas phone. I know now. I know, darling. Darling Jay. Then eventually, said, please help me come and bring something in the room. Said, come. Then I said, no. She did it repeatedly. I mean, who else should have slept with her? The guy who was abandoned by his brothers. Who was rejected. And I said, after all, I mean, this is my own opportunity to blow. What is it? I mean, God has to understand. With all the pressure I'm going through, I mean, I have to let out the steam. There was nobody more qualified to sleep with Potiphar's wife. But he said, no. I will not sin against God and against my boss. No one was watching him. Faithful guy. She got him into trouble. In fact, it's so bad. Notice, his brothers, rejected him, put him in the problem. Now his boss says, I don't believe you. Women are powerful. A guy, you gave everything. You say, he tried to rape me. He tried to rape me. What? Where is Joseph? I know maybe I've gotten like 6 laps. Back, 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 back. Okay, Paul. Okay, Paul. Okay, Paul. Joseph! God that fires you. Who's your guy? He got to prison. What brought you here? No! He kept being faithful. Hallelujah. He kept being faithful. No murmuring. See, when you complain and murmur, you cut yourself off. In every circumstance, we raise our hands. I thank you, Father. The script is working out. In the name of Jesus, I'm led by the Spirit. The Word of God is working in my life. The Word of God is working in my life. The Word of God is working in my ministry. It's working in my business. It's working in my family. In the name of Jesus, he just raised his hand. He's thankful. You know, there was no halter of complaining. Some people are not doing well at work because they think life has beaten them down. They are just, I should not be in this place. For the kind of family, the kind of degree I have. Me, management trainee. Me. I had OLD, DDD, OMD, DOD. 50K. So when they give them an assignment, they'll just do it anyhow. Because they are more than these. And they remain in the same place. But Joseph, you know what he does? He'll do it well. Hallelujah. He'll do it well. He'll submit it ahead of time. No excuses. I told you. Get ready not to have excuses. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
No excuses. You know, I have to take care of the children. Take them to nursery school. Take them to primary school. You know what you are doing? Some of you, so you give excuse of nursing children. By the time you are done, the children grow up. Right? What you ought to have learned, managing the children, the work of the ministry, your business and your career, you never learned it. You ought to have developed a skill with that difficulty. You ought to have developed a character, but you breathe the opportunity and it's going to show up. Because there will be people in your own circumstance who are doing what you claimed you could not do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was faithful. Very faithful. He took care of it. I know you have MBA, but they posted you to a shop. And the whole day you were just complaining, using your phone, telling your friends, see where I am, my MBA, shop. Joseph wasn't like that. He took it seriously. He didn't complain. Two guys now had dreams. Now, I showed you that. That means that right in prison, he was still full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He was still full of the Spirit. They didn't give him platform to preach, but he was full of the Spirit. You know what he's doing? He's ready for the opportunity. I live ready. I said, I live ready. I thank God for my friend, Detuji Ogula. He told me this in 1993. He said, Shegu, never get ready. Always be ready. Be ready. Anytime they call you on what God has called you for, you must be ready. Don't study for the next sermon. Study for the next 30, 40 years. Be ready. Say, thank you, dear brother. I will be ready. Hallelujah. Some guys, remember, I think Alex was in that meeting. And they said, oh, they called me up. He said, sir, I invited a speaker who wants to come. You can't come anymore. It's a major night. Tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Can you come? I said, if it's tonight, I'll come. I'm ready. What am I doing? Why do I study every day? Why do I pray every day? To be ready. So I got there. The person who was going to call me up to preach, he did not even know my name. Said, the invited minister, when he comes up, he will introduce himself. I smiled. Was at the NYSC camp, Yanokwacha. So, I had a sermon that is evergreen. If I use it, And someone have like that. Evergreen me. I say, when I use this one? Someone I've been using since 1994. I just came, pa! They were glued to their seats. And that day we had hundreds of people lined up to have hands laid on them. I was laying hands. Remember Pastor Hans? She said, Pastor, the way you are laying hands, are you aware of the number of people here? I said, well, she said, look back. I said, Jesus. She said, be fast a bit, sir. I said, all right. Oh, we're done. Many of the churches, ministries, and fellowships had lined up. And they now lined up my ear with invitations. I was ready. Hallelujah. Always ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready. One of my mentors told me this in business. He said, Shagun, anything they ask you to do, say, I can do it. He said, if you don't have the skill, you'll get someone that can do it. The fact that you have the information and you can get someone is already a skill in itself. Say, thank you, sir. He told me, he said, the same energy you use to do a 100,000 naira business, the same energy for 100 million. Why not go for 100 million? And I learned that. Are you here? Always, I'm ready for billions business. I'm not, anyone say, I can't do it. Now I'm ready. I'm just ready. And I train myself to be like that. I think like that. I plan like that. And I'm ready for it. Joseph was living that way. Interpreted their dreams, and those guys forgot. See the level of rejection he's experiencing. The guy forgot, sorry. He didn't say, You know, he didn't do all that. Then eventually, why he was thrown to the pit now showed up. Why he was in jail showed up. Pharaoh called. And when he got before Pharaoh, he knew exactly. See, assuming he had abandoned the gifts of his spirit because he said, I don't like, I'm not doing fine. My business is not doing well. I'm praying in tongues for what now? What am I praying in tongues for? What is it for? After all this praying in tongues, at the end of the day, what now happens? No! He was full of the spirit all the time. By the time they called him, said, I know the interpretation. They call you Holy Ghost meeting. Come and give prophecy. He said, please get on the keyboard. Please play this song. I can see by my side. The glory fills the earth. Glory. Zero. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready, God. Woo! Whatever you want to come into my hands, I'm ready. I am ready. I live ready. When he called him up, and it's Joseph. You know, Joseph did not just interpret the dream, he gave the solution. The man said, to whom else shall we commit this to? Pharaoh said, but to you, in whom is the Spirit of God? Why was he able to handle the nation of Egypt and all the nations that came? He learnt it working for his dad, right? He learnt it in the pit. He learnt it working in Potiphar's house. He learnt it in prison. Hear me, guys. Faithfulness is not what you used to do. Faithfulness is what you are doing now. Faithfulness is what you keep doing. You must have a habit for someone ready for the next thing. You must have a habit for someone ready for fruitfulness. You must have a habit. There must be a habit. Something you are doing every day. Obviously, Joseph was praying every day. Obviously, he was feeding on the word of God every day. Obviously, he was seeking God every day. He was building up himself spiritually every day. When the opportunity came, he never failed. You can't complain and be ready. Did you hear me? You can't give excuses and be ready. You can't be looking for one reason to fail and be ready. And I'm telling you guys, I'm saying be used to doing things well, whether ministry or business. Do you hear me? Be used to getting the job done. You hear what I'm saying? Whether it's in ministry, whether it is in your job, whether it's in your career, at home, as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, don't give reasons. Don't look for the reason. Don't sit back. See, hear me. That time you use to meditate upon why, the reason, the excuse, you should have used it to get a solution. Don't use your mind negatively. That time you spent to say, hey, you know now, you know where I live now, the traffic now, you know, that time that you are using to feed upon excuses, look at the possibilities. Use your mind well. There are people I don't read on, I don't even read them on Facebook. There are people I'm unfriend. I don't have my time for that. I don't have it. I don't. Praise the Lord. I share with the pastors. See, when I got to government college, Ibadan, someone said, there's government college, all your sermons. I know. My first school father was my cousin. They called him Ijebu. So he was in HSC. But because he was my cousin, he had been my school father. But I deliberately became close to the head of school. If he knows me well today, he relates to me on my Facebook. He talks to me on my Facebook a lot. I became his friend. I was just watching how we used to lead. So when they left and a new set of leaders came, then they now picked Yomi Taiwo, who was calling me Yomi Top Man Lopez. I went to him. I want you to be my school father. You know why? Because he was a leader. That was all. So I watched him. I listened to him. Interestingly, he's also a lawyer now. Well, he was a lawyer before me, definitely. So I was watching him. By the time I got to the SS1, I had planned how I was going to lead the school without being a senior. I said, from what he said, what that person said, I was ready. Ready. So by the time we got to the, I said, okay, they put me as a prefect, I gave them the plan. So I practically gave the design that we ran with. But I was ready years before. Years before. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
By the time they called Joseph, he was ready. What made him ready? His brother's hatred. What made him ready? Their rejection. What made him ready? What he did in Potiphar's house. What made him ready? The prison. He was ready. You know what else didn't happen? All through the time he was supposed to be complaining, he wasn't. So there was forgiveness. You don't need unforgiveness. Do you hear me? What are you using me for? God is building something greater in you. Did you hear me? No matter the resistance people have against you, there's something greater God is building you for. Don't focus on those things. My stepmother, leave stepmother on the step. Did you hear me? I said, forget all that. Makes no difference. So, let's come home to ministry. Hope you are learning something tonight. So I said here, I said, what are the habits you want to commit yourself to? I said, commit yourself to consistency. What are the habits you want to commit yourself to? Are those habits daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly? Write it down. You are a leader. Now listen, look up. Do you know that your decisions affect people? Are you aware? All right, good. So now ask yourself, am I committing myself daily, weekly, yearly, or monthly? Look at scriptural habits I must have. Paul writes to Timothy, meditate upon these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give yourself wholly unto them that your profiting may appear unto others. Joshua heard the same thing from Moses. For the law, sorry. When he took over from Moses. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You meditate day and night and observe to do all that's in there. Then you make your way prosperous and have good success. The psalmist repeated the same instruction. So which means I must learn to meditate on the word of God every day. What is the word of God? The word of God is the plan of God. So every day I put the plan of God before me. Every day I put my destination before me. This is where we're going in our fellowship. This is where we're going in our church. This is where we're going in our family. This is where we're going in my business. This is where we're going in my career. I think about it every day. You have to meditate on it every day. Use your mind positively. You know why some of us don't meditate well? You have other people's stories in your head. Gist. Negative things. Who asked you to go and read the blog? Who sent you? How does that blog contribute to you? Who sent you to receive stupid things on WhatsApp? Who sent you? Who? Now, your head is now full of nonsense. You say you have a problem. You have a problem. Who sent you? Meditate on the word day and night. Don't have friends that are full of gist. Did you hear me? Meditate on the right things. On the right things. On the right things. Fill your mind. What else? Pray every day. Commit yourself to a habit of prayer. Every day. Every day. Just like Jesus. Give thanks every day. Be filled with the Spirit every day. Ask yourself, have I been filled with the Spirit today? Man, it's been a very dry day. So you begin to speak in tongues. You begin to give thanks. You're giving psalms. What are you doing? You are getting ready. You're living ready. Sorry. You're giving thanks. You build a habit. Commit yourself to it. So I close here. I said here, whatever the habit you have chosen, it's not going to be easy. But you must keep at it. You have to rise above your feelings and never yield to your feelings, yield to your purpose. Did you hear me? Never submit yourself to feelings. Submit yourself to purpose. Purpose can be hard. Purpose can be harsh. Purpose can be difficult. Purpose can be extremely difficult. But stick to it. Keep at it. Live prepared. Are you here? And I'm telling you something. Write this down. In 3-4 years, the kind of opportunities you will see in ministry, in business, in your career, you'll be so glad you took this counsel. Did you hear what I'm saying? You know, when you are used to complaining, and you are a pastor in a place, you'll be complaining about that country. You'll be grumbling about that city. That's what, but when you are used to purpose, you'll be praying about it. You'll be giving thanks about it. You'll be committed to getting the job done. Guys, let me tell you why I'm telling you what I'm saying today. It's just one word. Be committed to winning. Did you hear me? Have a commitment. To win. Don't have a habit of stopping every time. Give what it takes. Give what it takes. Give everything. Live prepared. Live ready. Develop habits that you never want to change. Don't let marriage change it. Don't let age change it. Don't let the country you move to change it. Don't let your status change it. Tell yourself, I'm committed to this for the rest of my life. You cannot fail. Nothing dies in your hands. Tell yourself, this cell will multiply churches. Make it a commitment. You will be committed to it yourself. Say to yourself, look, come hell and high waters, I will never abandon this. This will never be abandoned. It will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Tell yourself that business, it will go through troubles and all that, but it's going to live. It's not just going to live. It's not just going to survive. It's going to multiply. Tell yourself in that career, I'll keep being steady. I will grow. I'll be successful. I'll be faithful and I'll be fruitful. Tell yourself in that family, no matter what we face, no matter the circumstances, we're going to come out of it. We're going to succeed and we're going to have a great legacy with the children and children's children and more generations to come. Tell yourself that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. So, I'm going to dig deep, right? I'm going to dig deep. Digging deep is what you are doing every day.
every day I'm praying. Every day, whether I feel like it or not, I'll get up from that bed. Oh my God, whether I feel like it or not, I'll get up from that bed. I know I felt headache last night, and but I'm going to still get up and pray. I got a bad report. I'm still going to study the word. Habits that I choose never to break. I'm going to preach. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to be full of the Spirit. I'm going to be full of the Spirit. I remember when I was trying to get to Ife, the University of Ife, who are you? And I was discouraged. What happened? So I was I was getting the gate to get the bus. I felt like, but Professor, here too, he asked me to come. But I told myself, snap out of it immediately. I just began to pray in tongues. I sang in tongues for a long time. So I got into this bus. And this woman sat with me. I sat at the door. She sat between myself and the driver. I just forgotten what had happened. I put it behind me. In fact, a man, a doctor, Esemokai, he told me, you can't study law. You can't be a lawyer. Go and find something else to do. I smiled. Just walked away. I put it behind me. So I was in the bus. Filled with the Spirit, I just told the woman, you are going to Lagos to see your daughter. She said, your daughter is in the hospital right now. And she just lost her husband. She looked at me. I said, go show. So I ministered to her. I said, right now, you are sick. You have to say yes. She attend CAC. I said, I know. I mentioned a parish. I just left a disappointment though. But I'm ready. Am I not a lawyer now? You cannot afford to allow circumstance to dictate your mood all the time. Lord, I'm ready. I live ready for your plan and purpose. No complaining, no murmuring. I'm not lazy. Hear this. No lazy man fulfills God's plan for his life. You have to shake off laziness. 30 minutes of prayer, you are dozing. You can't amount to anything successful in the things of God. Fruitful. You have to deal with it. So as you are writing, write habits you have to break away from. Giving up easily. Filling your mind with what is not your business. Being negative. Are you here? Those are habits you have to break away from. Loving the company of pity party. That's nonsense. Sorry. I learned something in government college. The senior sent me to go and fetch water, Aminu Kazim. So I went. Now we used to go and fetch water at Akadri. Akadri was basically 1 hour walk to go and fetch water. So I had to fetch his water and mine and 2 buckets. You know those buckets? Garawa. You know Garawa? Garawa is metal. When you write your name, it's forever. With Kandahar. So I took the 2 buckets, went to Akadri. It was in the evening. I fed the 2 buckets coming. One on your head, one like this. Every government college boy did that anyway. So as I got to the boarding house, field house, unknowingly, I just skipped a step. And I fell. The 2 buckets. Boom! People say, ha! You know, really, and they knew I'd come from a far place. Oh, no, grow, press man, sorry. You know what I did? I didn't listen. Because I told myself, if I wait longer, depression will kill me. So I took the buckets, started running. I ran! I got the cartridge, I stopped. Put this in there. I asked to still kill. So I said, but he just came now. I didn't even answer. What happened? That gist will make you more demoralized. So I just fetched the water. So I went back to the host of one. This time I went around, dropped the bucket. Then I said, what happened? That's how to handle life's challenges. Quickly get up. Quickly get up. Pity party can't help you. Yeah, sorry. I understand. How can you understand? Are you in my shoes? You don't understand. Just leave me alone. Let me pray. Let me feed on the word. I'll come out of it. I can't go down. I can never go down. I can't go down. I've set my face like a flint. I'm fulfilling God's plan for my life. I'm fruitful on every side. Everything I do prospers in the name of Jesus. No room for discouragement. No room for terrible advisors. Guys, get up from your slumber. Tonight before you sleep, dust some things you had abandoned. It's time to do them. Pray over them. Feed on the word of God about it. And get the job done. As a pastor, you are a success. As a pastor, I say you are a success. Stand to your feet. You are a success. That's what God has made you. Something we got from our Father is that we are faithful. We are consistent. We don't give up. So we are committed to our nature. We are committed to it. We are committed to it. I'm not going to envy anybody. I have nobody to envy. I have nobody to be jealous about. But I have a future to face. I have a life to be committed to. I am committed to my life. I'm committed to God's purpose for my life. I don't have time for side G's and side comments. I'm focused. Before we end, make a commitment to consistency. A commitment. And I believe God, amongst us leaders and our church, the spirit of inconsistency is broken away. Make a commitment today to be consistent with the healthy habits of a leader. The healthy habit of a winner. I win. I win. I don't know what will happen in the middle of the story, but one thing I know, I am going to win. I love working with people who are positive. Even if you are an unbeliever, I love to work who are positive. Who will say it can be done? It can be done. A good family life. Good marriage, good business, doing well in ministry, consistent, it can be done. From a cell group becomes a church. A church plants churches, it can be done. And through it all, your business is growing. Right? You're getting better and better. You are handling tax better at work. Then you move from general manager to managing director because they know you are faithful. You have no room for excuses. It can be done. All useless relationships of, is this possible? Cut them off. It will be done. It will be done. Bless the Lord right now. Commit yourself to a life of consistency. Commit yourself. Determine that you will be committed to consistency.